Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time for Reamer, Wiggy, and Bradfo. Alex Reamer, Jermaine Wiggins, and Rob Bradford on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
The big announcement is starting Monday, next week, is Wiggy Week. He's been asking for it. He wants consistency. All next week, Jermaine Wiggins
Hold
is in
phone.
With Mutt and Callahan.
Wait a second.
4 hours of show.
Wait a second.
Good call, Curtis.
We believe in you, Wiggy.
So that means no Reamer, no James. Oh, I'm coming around now.
Yes. Well, so the streets have talked, Reamer. They that's it. Indefinite, huh?
What do you mean?
No more Reamer.
No more? I'm on Friday, I think. I'm filling in for you.
Well, I'm not sure yet. I haven't really made the decision.
They'll let me know?
Yeah, I haven't made the decision if I'm going to be able to do Friday.
We're live from our WI Ford Clubhouse Studios. Reamer, Wiggy, Bradfo. Just Reamer and Wiggy. Rob is speaking at some Cape Cod League baseball banquet. We wish him well.
Mob James says he can't speak, though, in public, so.
Rob, I know. It's going to be a little tough. So is that the big Mutt and Callahan news you tweeted out?
Yeah, the big news is that...
You tweeted, though, a few minutes ago. You're going to break some Mutt and Callahan news.
Yes.
That was announced on the show Friday. So what's the news that you're breaking?
The news is that I met with Joey But I forget what the guy's name was, the consultant.
Barrett, Jason Barrett.
Yes,
I met with him as well Friday. Yes,
yes. And so he said moving forward that I think that we've all kind of came to an agreement that this could be your last show.
Oh, really?
In the market.
Oh, in the market?
Yes.
Oh.
In the market on radio.
When I went to South Florida a few months ago, I said, we'll start a GoFundMe or Venmo,
Yeah, that's right. I remember that.
Let's get some accounts.
And you enjoyed yourself down there.
Yeah, there was someone donated 99 cents. So if you want to get me out of the market, that's fine. Being to donate a little more money than that.
But yeah, so we had a meeting and, the consultant said, from the buzz that's going on around.
Buzz.
A lot of buzz in the city.
Yeah.
A lot of buzz with WEI and everything moving forward. That this is it. So, people
so
out there.
So, this is my farewell. Should people call in to wish me well? 617-779-7927. I mean, I will say.
We did it with Mark James because he's also leaving the market potentially.
Yes. Yeah, but we don't know yet exactly what. No. We don't know exactly where he's going, what he's doing.
Says he has a lot of opportunities.
A lot of opportunities, yes. Well, that's fine. I mean, the last 2 weeks, I've been the one who's stirring the drink here at the station, per usual. The Jerry Thornton Barstool thing, the Fourier thing really became about me. Awful announcings, a blog about me, defending Fourier's sources, which, by the way, I regret. I mean, wrong on Grizzly.
Well,
it's the last time I go to bat for Christian Fourier.
You might want to be careful when you jump into the new sourcing.
It's tough. It's tough. I don't understand why these hockey people take it so seriously. I mean, whatever.
Well, I'm a hockey guy. You know that. I'm the best hockey person in New England.
That's why you're on, 4 days this week? Monday through... Oh, you don't know about Friday.
Yeah, I don't know about Friday.
Okay,
we haven't made the decision.
That's fine. If they want to put you on, that's fine. I know Ken and Curtis probably want me to do a crazy rant. They can play it on their show tomorrow. I'm not doing that. Nope, not doing it. So I wish you well.
We need this audio because
Team WEI.
This is the last audio
go
Reamer.
Team.
So let's have the rant. And then
rant.
You don't want to rant, Reamer.
No.
See, I had no... I was unaware of this whole situation when they broke the news on... Was it Friday when that news broke?
Yeah, you're on.
I had no aware.
The show announcements are stuff like, Ken and Curtis got contract extensions.
Right,
great.
So
that's real news.
Jerry and I were in the dock on this one.
Mutt wasn't, because Mutt pretended like he didn't
know Mutt
either.
Said he
Who's
met...
Who's behind this?
Yeah, Mutt said he had met with Jason and Joe.
Oh.
So there was some meeting, but Mutt didn't really get into detail. So when they made this announcement on the show, I was like, whoa, it took y'all long enough.
Right.
I mean, Jesus, how long does it take before you morons wake up and realize that, you know what? Hey, I'm the best thing you got on the show, so make it happen.
Right. Well, if they want to put on a worse show this week, that's fine. That's not my issue. Anyway, Wiggy, we have a big game
tonight. It's not bigger than this Reamer leaving the market news.
Well, where am I going?
I don't know.
You don't know.
You tell.
He's a big. You said this consultant said it's my last show. He's a big.
Yeah, I don't know where you're going.
He can't find something for me.
WEI's moving in a different direction.
Oh, okay. Well, but where? So what? Where were they? So I'm still have a contract. Are they going to break my contract what?
I mean, you could still have a contract. Yeah, they can.
Are they going to pay me to do nothing?
It's called severance pay.
I'm getting laid off. You're the one telling me that.
I'm just saying when usually they pick up a little bit remainder of your contract, they call it severance pay.
I just signed an extension, so that'd be a lot of severance pay. Fine, though. It's good for them. I hope
you
they
and Mark James could start a podcast.
That would be great. I'd love to host with Mark James. Me and him, we get along well. I don't know. Did you listen to the Mark James Andy Hart show yesterday?
I didn't get a chance to listen to it.
Yeah, I didn't
listen
to much of it either. I know that they were going at each other a little bit because Andy Hart took a shot at Mark with a C, saying he thinks Mark James is fake, as you know.
Well, Mark James was all over him. They scrubbed the audio, so I didn't get to hear
about that.
I didn't get to hear it on the podcast, so I just saw it on social media. But I guess Mark James was all over him, calling him a little person. And I mean, I don't understand why you're going to go after the guy's height. Just some people are not tall.
Right, exactly. Yes, some people are just not tall. There's nothing you can do about that. I mean, like Mutt.
I had maybe posed the, we have the wrestling match with you and Curtis.
No, I'm not doing that anymore.
Well, yeah.
No, I'm not doing that anymore.
Clearly you're not because, you're going in
I'm
a different
I'm off the market number one.
Different
so
direction.
Yeah, and I'm not flying back for that. Sorry.
So now we're thinking maybe a celebrity boxing match between Andy Hart and Mark James.
Oh, I'll put asses in the seats.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely.
Big. There's a box that we could do like right around here. Maybe House of Blues.
We'll figure something out.
Get the mentality going. That's
just got to draw up the contracts and make sure everything.
I do have to say, though, I do have to give you credit. The Dalian shirt, well done. Can you get a tank in that? Because it's summer season.
We got a lot of stuff coming.
Your biceps like mine. You gotta show them off.
We got a lot of stuff coming. Have you not realized that I'm the most innovated, the juggernaut of the show? I went and saw Dark Phoenix last night, which was an okay movie.
Just okay.
Yeah, I would say I'm the Dark Phoenix of the show.
I don't even know what that is. What is
Doc Phoenix from X-Men?
Oh, see, I'm not into.
I also saw it last night, Wiggy.
How was that, John? Yes. Did you like it?
It was bad, and I liked it.
It was okay. It wasn't anything spectacular. But Doc Phoenix is probably the most powerful mutant in the universe.
Oh, well, I was never into X-Men. I was never into superheroes.
You into?
Reality. That's what I'm into.
Come on. What's 9-year-old Reamer, 10-year-old Reamer is playing with? What's reality at that time?
I was making baseball rosters with a $40 million payroll. That was my goal. I tried to be a general manager. I was really geeky. What I was doing. Let's get the young players in. Yes, that's what I was doing. I was preparing for this job. I was actually announcing Red Sox games with the sound off as well when I was 10, 11, 12 years old. So that's what I was doing. Got a big game tonight, Wiggy. Game 6, your official hockey guy.
This is it.
Matt Kalman.
Win or go home.
Blues win tonight.
Wow.
Yeah, WEI.com's Matt Kalman, our Bruins guy. First question for you is, I know you talked about this at length Friday, but Zdeno Chara, you saw him speak yesterday. Fighting through the broken jaw, which he will not say is broken, but clearly it is. Going to give Big Z some credit, some attaboys. I mean, that's pretty tough, Wig.
But I never said he wasn't a tough dude. I never said he wasn't a tough dude and getting out there and playing. My thing is the production on the ice. That's what I've always been on. I mean, I'm hoping that Grizzlick plays because Grizzlick, I think, somebody that has had production on the ice when he was out there. So I'm hoping that he plays. But I know I heard Pete Blackburn say this. Shaking up the lines. I'm with that. I want to see them move Coyle up, but I know he's doing a great job with Johansson. So you got to think that your top six forwards are just not getting it done.
Well, here's, though, the positive for that, potentially. So Barbashev, of course, out tonight, game 6. He's been part of that big fourth line, which has really nullified the Bruins' first line.
Right.
So maybe that's the wake-up call that they need. Maybe that gets them going if the Blues' fourth line is a little disheveled tonight. They've been keeping him in check. It's been that big matchup. Ken's been talking about.
Ken's been talking about Parenko and I forget who the other defenseman he was talking about, which has been doing a good job. But they've had opportunities. And I've said this, and I said this on Friday, that the Bruins, in my opinion, are the better team. They've played like the better team for pretty much all of this series.
The you
only
think so?
Oh, yeah. The only problem is...
Not on 5-on-5 play.
The only problem is they're behind 3-2 in the series.
Well, but wait, they haven't better on 5-on-5.
Well, they've been better on 5-on-5. They've been better in the sense of they've had a lot more scoring opportunities. Yeah,
the Blues have outscored them 5-on-5.
Right, they outscored them. See, but I think this is the conversation that we had.
I think it's 10-7.
But this is the conversation that we had is they've had more scoring opportunities. You look at what they've been able to do in the Blues offensive zone. The Bruins have done a lot. They just haven't been able to put the puck in the net. They were all over them in that and game. What was that, game four? They were all over them. Was it game four or game five?
I mean, the first period for game five, I mean, the Bruins were all over Binnington, who I think had a great first period. I mean, a lot of rebounds the Bruins couldn't capitalize, but I think Binnington did a nice job in that first period. And that was really the only burst the Bees had.
Well, they had some opportunities. Charlie McAvoy had a 2-on-1 late in the game. The thing that I'm saying is that when you look at this game overall, I would say the goaltending by the Bruins has been a little bit better, right? You'd say Tuukka Rask is outplaying Binnington.
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
series.
I mean, let's be honest. I mean, look, I'm not one of these anti-Tuukka people. He's
done
a great job.
No, but I'm just saying who has been...
Oh, sure, yeah. No, Binnington does not really impress me, but amazingly, the Bruins have not been able to light him up.
Right.
They really haven't.
Well, except for game...
Game one or two. Whenever he was pulled.
Game three, I believe.
Game three,
was hurt.
Sure.
Right, but when you... So what I'm saying is the Bruins, they look like they're playing... In a sense, a little bit better, but they're not capitalizing on their opportunities where the Blues are capitalizing on their scoring chances, and that's why the series is 3-2 the Blues, even though when I look at this, if the Bruins go out there and they play the way that they're supposed to play and they're able to put some of those pucks in the net, it's a completely different series.
I'd like to see them shoot a little bit as well. I mean,
well,
how many times was Krejci in front of the net the other night, passing, looking to pass instead of shoot?
Well,
that's
my point. Think about those opportunities they've had. When you look at the Bruins' opportunities, scoring on chances, and I'm not just saying shots on net, but being in a position where you could get potentially a good shot on net, we've seen this a number of times.
Right.
Krejci, Marchand coming down on 2-on-1s, and rather than just taking a shot, decides to sauce a pass, and you know you're not able to get a good scoring opportunity. That's the thing about this series. The Bruins are not, you know, I know I heard Portnoy's got the shirt, pucks on net, but I'm like this now. It's no more pucks on net. It's time for pucks in net.
In the net. That's
right.
What we're saying.
That's
right.
What we're
no
saying.
No more
right.
Pucks on net. Pucks. And I'm glad we're starting here because there's been a lot of bitching and moaning about the officiating, and rightfully
well,
so.
It was
we're
a
on
huge,
day three of that.
Huge.
Well, of course.
Game five was
of
critical.
Of course. But you know what, though? I mean, that's not the number one reason why the Bruins
well, that's
lost
a big
the game,
part of it.
But it's not the reason why they're down 3-2 in the series. Your top forwards have not played well.
Yeah, but
that's what it comes down to. And the thing is, Wiggy, I mean, you played for Belichick. You played for the Patriots. Do you think Bill Belichick would have carried on like the Bruins and Cassidy carried on these last couple days? No, they wouldn't.
But that's Bill's personality. That's different. That's his personality. The other coaches might carry on a different way. When you look at that no call in game five, that is a huge turning point clearly leads to the Blues winning that game.
Yeah, but Tuukka also could have stopped the shot from Perron.
Right,
right through him.
Right, but we always say
kind of a soft goal.
Tuukka could have did this or something could have happened there. But once you don't make that call, what you allow the Blues to then do is 10 seconds later, they score a goal. So if you make that call, that eliminates the goal.
Oh, without a doubt.
And even if the Bruins don't do anything on the power play, say they get the power play and they don't score, there's 9 minutes to go in the game and you're down by one goal. As a Bruins fan watching them play throughout this series, if they're only down by one with 9 minutes to go, I think there's a really good chance that the Bruins tie that game up.
And really, you do? I mean, with the way that their top forwards were playing?
Well, you don't think 9 minutes to go, down by one, the Bruins in the third period in that game put themselves in a position. Now, I know that the DeBrusk goal, he ends up scoring.
That's
which
a good shot.
Which
finally.
Which would have tied the game up. But let's take that out of there, right? Let's take that goal out and say, Bruins get the power play, 9 minutes to go. I think they come back and they tie it.
The power play, though, was terrible, too, in game five.
Right, but I'm saying
it was like from a few years ago.
But I'm saying the way that the Bruins have been playing in this series, if there's 9 minutes to go in the third period, which there would have been,
right,
I believe the Bruins would have tied that game up and at least pushed it to
overtime. Yeah, but what it could have, should have. I mean, you can't allow the officials, and the officiating is terrible, and Berube is totally worse.
But it's not like they allowed them to do that.
And we agree. But they did, though, with the carrying on about it. I mean, Bruce Cassidy.
No, but in the moment of the game, it's not like they allowed the referees to not make make the call. That was a clear, blatant.
Of course it was. But then the question is, you know, where's the conversation now? Like, what's the key to game six? Unfortunately, you can't control the officiating.
Yeah, but you can gripe about what happened in
game
five.
Can't spend too much time on it.
Well, if
can't spend too much time
You can gripe about it and say, listen, we're in this position. Why are we in this position? Because of a blown non-call.
No, but you're in this position, Wiggy, because Pastrnak, Marchand, Krejci, Bergeron, zeros for the series. Zeros in 5-on-5 play.
Right.
And that's why the Bruins are down 3-2.
That's a part of it.
And the officiating games 4 and 5 bad. The Blues are getting away with headshots. The trip was egregious. I agree with all that.
But that's
not the number one reason why the Bruins are down.
But nobody said it's the number one reason, but it's a part of it.
Listening to the conversation, that seems to be the consensus.
Well, what if it's the number two reason, right? If we love to pass out the blame pie, right? If that no call is 60% of the blame pie, and then, or even flip it, that's 40%, and then 60% is the top six forwards. That's still a major part of the reason.
I think it's 60%. I mean, as egregious that call was, it was still just one play.
Yeah, but it was a major play.
Oh, of course.
Tell the
it was.
Oakland Raiders that. Tell Oakland Raiders players and fans that on the Tuck Room. I'm willing to bet you that they say.
Well, yeah. and they come across as whiny little babies. Still complaining about the Tuck rule. That's what I'm saying. People, fans who complain about the officiating come across as whiny.
Yeah, but
children. Saints fans?
When officiating clearly directs the result of the game.
Oh, it's terrible.
That's you're always going to complain about that because it wasn't like, all right, this they missed like just some call and it didn't and say the Blues didn't score and now it's like, all right, they missed a call, you know, they miss penalties all the time, but it didn't affect the game. That non-call clearly affected the game.
Yeah.
Because the Blues scored
right
10 seconds later.
Right. No, it absolutely did, no doubt about it, but again, that's
the same
one
way
play
with the Saints thing, right? That's Saints fans have a legitimate gripe and players have a legitimate gripe. That non-call is the reason why the Saints did not get to the Super Bowl.
There was also overtime and Breeze threw an interception.
Right, but they never get to overtime if the referees make
right,
that call.
Right, but they still had a chance to win the game in overtime.
Right,
they had possession to start off and Drew Breeze threw a pick.
Do you know what the meaning of never getting to somewhere, because if the outcome would have been called the right way, you never get to that road in life? That thing never happens, right? I mean, you've seen television shows.
I have, once in a while.
You know,
yes.
Where you could jump back into the time machine and change and alter major things. I mean, I know you've seen Back to the Future.
I have not seen Back to the Future.
Jesus.
No, I haven't. Maybe that's why you're on the morning show this week instead of me. Your pop culture knowledge, Wiggy, is far superior to mine.
But
this is amazing. Your Super Bowl champion, Jermaine Wiggins, sitting here wearing your Patriots hat. By the way, we're at our Fenway Studios. No Red Sox regalia.
Yeah, I got a Red Sox
hat. They got a big matinee today against the Rays.
How have they looked these past couple of games?
I mean, Price still looked good last night. You said
Price,
best pitcher on the staff, the stopper.
This, what is it, 8-game stretch where they got Tampa and the Rangers?
Yes.
It's going to be big for them.
Yeah, it certainly is. But I'm saying, I mean, you've won at the highest levels possible, and it's not a winner's mentality to continue to vetch and complain.
Well,
about
but it's
the officials
part of it.
Days later, just isn't.
I also lost a Super Bowl because the place kicker John Casey kicked the ball out of bounds, and that's something that I'll always talk about. Right? That was
but that's a player mistake.
But it's right. but what I'm saying is it's a major part of whether or not you win or lose the game, right?
Sure.
When you have situations in a game, there are always, it's like, you know, it's always that famous line. There's always that one moment in time from Deadpool where you got to make a decision whether I do right or I do wrong. In sports, there's always that one or two plays that are a major reason for the outcome of the game. And in the Bruins game, that non-call was that major outcome that affected the way the game went from that point on.
But also the Blues hit a number of posts. I think Parayko hit a post.
But that's part of the game.
More than 2-1.
Right,
I understand that, Wiggy, but it's I just don't like the fact that the narrative for Game 5 has seemed to be condensed to, oh, the tripping call wasn't called, and as a result, that's why the Bruins lost.
If the Bruins lose tonight, they lose the Stanley Cup Finals, right?
Yeah.
And you don't think that people will always look at that non-call
right.
because the game would have been different if the refs made that call.
Yeah, but I'm still going to look at your top six forwards putting
up donuts. Yeah, that'll be part of it.
That's the number one reason, Reamer, as far as I'm concerned.
I'm not disagreeing with you. That will definitely be part of it. But I think when people will talk about this, that'll be right up there. But right next to the top six forwards not performing well will be that non-call in game five.
Joe in New Bedford. Let's get some calls early and often here on this big game six night. What's up, Joe? What do you think?
Good morning, fellas. Well, real quick, I wasn't going to talk about the penalty, but I just wanted to say the only reason anybody even talks about this penalty not being called is because a goal was scored within the continuation of the play. If they don't end up scoring, it's just another call that's missed. So moving on to game six, and I haven't heard anybody really say this, two things. One, I think the Bruins actually benefited from having seven defensemen in game five. Other than that goal that was scored on the continuation of the penalty not being called, they held them to one goal. That's the lowest goal total that they held them so far in the series, and I think that there's something to be said about having fresh legs in the defense, especially with the size of these guys when they get down in our zone. Having fresh legs early and often, I think it helps a lot. And also, I would love to see a little bit more of what Cassidy did towards the end of the game with Charlie Coyle on the top line with Bergeron. Charlie Coyle is seeing the game really well. He's scoring goals. He seems to be in a lot of the right places. He's attacking the zones. He's falling back. He could do without a couple of his shady passes that he's made. But outside of that, I think that it'd be a nice shakeup for the first line.
Yeah, I agree, Joe. I think we're in agreement with that too, Wiggy. With how well Coyle has played and Johansson has played, I think you need to shake something
up.
Yeah,
but then there are people have said if we break that line up, now you're breaking up your best line.
The third line?
Well, you're breaking up your best line, and now you're moving guys all over the place.
Yeah, but you got to shuffle. You got to shuffle the chairs a little bit. And I'm looking to
Where you want to move Coyle to? Because this was the discussion. Where you want to put him?
First line.
First line where?
I'm putting him in Pasta's spot.
Why not put him in Bergeron's spot if you really want to get, because he's a centerman.
Put him in Bergeron's spot. Then you move Bergeron down to the second line.
You move Bergeron down in the third line and you play Bergeron next to Johansson.
Or you can move Johansson up to the second line, put Bergeron on the second line, and Bergeron, Johansson, that's your second line.
Well, now you'd have to move moving Krejci down in the center?
I'm moving Krejci down to the third line.
Well, it's about, it's about production, right? About, you know, guys scoring, and you want to put guys in a position where they can score goals. You can't move Pasta down to the third line because I think Pasta is probably your best goal scorer next to Mašián, right?
He's been bullied a bit this series,
right?
Though.
But when you put that line together, you want a line that's gonna be able. You want the sniper line. Let's call it the sniper line. That would be with Coyle in the middle next to next to Pasha and Mašián.
So we're in agreement. We're not quite agreeing about what the shakeup will be, but we agree there should be a shakeup tonight at 617-779.
And I'm not with the seven defensemen. I'm not with the seven defensemen.
No, I'm not either.
Go back to six defensemen.
Right. And Char, Big Z, spoke yesterday as well. Barely spoke, but he did speak. We'll play some of that sound next. And I also have a thought on Zdeno Chara. All this glorifying, he's playing to the broken jaw, and it's tough. It's unbelievable. I can't even fathom it. But it makes me feel a little icky, Wiggy, all this glorifying with the guys playing through.
Icky,
a little icky. We'll get to that next.
I want to hear this one.
With tons
can't
of your
wait
phone
to
calls, including somebody who agrees, does not think I should be off the morning show or WEI. In case you missed the news, Wiggy breaking at the top of the 9 o'clock hour. I am out,
always
apparently.
You always heard that saying, the blind squirrel finds a nut. There's also a few other blind squirrels that, you know, find nuts. So, I mean, there's a moron out there, too, that are going to agree with that you should be here.
So, Team Ream,
yeah,
a call to arms on Pride Weekend. How appropriate. We'll do that next. But first, let's grab a trending.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Kareemer, Wiggy, and Bradfo on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
So, Deno, I was wondering if you could just walk us through how you felt playing in the last game, and also, is your jaw broken?
I feel fine playing. Obviously, it was a quick turnaround after last game here, but I feel fine.
Brother, I see What are your limitations in terms of kind of just the pain tolerance you're going through and just kind of what you can't do out there because of the injury?
I don't think there's no limitations. Still able to play.
Zdeno, are you able to eat food properly now, or what's the challenge there to get yourself ready?
Yeah, I'm trying to always eat as much as I can keep my nutrition up and fluids up.
So Zdeno Chara, not believably saying yesterday, or trying to say that he feels fine. Don't you just grimace watching him try to speak through that injury? Ugh, just makes me shudder.
There's no limitations.
Well, we know it's got to be extremely difficult. You know, the questions are so dumb that they ask. Oh, does it affect you? Yeah, you moron. His jaw is, whether they report it on or broke, there's something there. So that's going to affect the way he's breathing. What idiots.
No, it definitely affects him. 16-plus minutes of ice time in Game 5. You even have to say, Wiggy, you're head of the Anti-Chara Club. But, I mean, that was a real gutsy, Herculean-type performance.
I never thought that, he wouldn't play in the because of who he is as a person. Like, I knew he'd try to gut it out. I'm talking strictly about Chara on the ice. I'm not talking about his toughness. I'm not talking about what he means heart and soul to the team. I'm talking about strictly what he is as a defenseman on that ice. And now clearly he's dealing with this issue, so he's not at 100%. So if I had an issue with him at 100%,
right.
I got an issue with him at whatever he is, 70%, 65%, 80%. He's still not the same guy.
So you think the Bruins would be better off if Chara didn't play at all?
Yes.
You do?
Yeah, I personally think so.
Wow.
Because...
So you think Zdeno Chara is being selfish?
Well, I don't think that he's
apparent broken jaw.
I don't think that he's being selfish. That's how athletes are. If they feel like they can play and they feel like they can play at 70%, and the coach is going to allow them to play,
he's still better than whoever would replace him. Even as Zdeno Chara at this advanced stage in his career, a 70% Zdeno Chara is better than who? You don't think he's better than
Camphor?
Yeah,
I don't think so. Not when he's not at 100%, because he's clearly going to be dealing with the issues of everything.
Well, they only allowed two goals yesterday, we said, and the second goal was after the blown missed call there. I mean, so Chara, I think, played pretty well.
Yeah, but he was...
And he was hit right away. I mean, Shen, 30 seconds to the game, checks Chara. I mean, the Blues went right after him. I mean, you got to
give
the man
credit. You could tell by watching him out there. You give him credit for him going out there and being gritty and tough and gutting it out. But you could watch, he wasn't like the same Chara he was prior to the injury. He was very tentative going into the corners. You could clearly tell that they were going after him. You could tell he wasn't on the ice for a ton of shifts. I can't remember. Like they said, like the first 11 shifts.
He played 16 minutes, 42 seconds.
Right, but like the first 11 shifts, he was only on the ice for maybe 4 or 5 minutes, something to that effect.
Right.
But also the other thing, how it affected the team, because now you had to go 7 defensemen. So now you're going 7 defensemen. That means you're going 11 forwards, and forwards now have to double shift. And late in that game, you saw guys like Pastrnak, you saw guys like Coyle, guys that were double shifting, were definitely gassed, and that affects you as a player. I know we had I was listening to Sunday Skate, and they had somebody on there, and as somebody who was a high-level hockey player himself, double shifting, it catches up to you.
Oh, of course it does. Of course it does. But, whoever replaced Chara, I don't think would have even played 16 minutes and change.
Well, it would have been Camphor. Camphor ended up playing like 8 or 9 minutes.
Yeah, right. I mean, but that would have been double. Like, if Chara wasn't there, Camphor would have
played 16 minutes.
I don't know. I mean, do you want to put Steve Camphor out there 16 minutes in a Stanley Cup final?
What would have been the difference
hardly
between...
Played.
Well, what would he played fine. I mean, I don't think he would have been an issue. He played fine.
And Chara wasn't an issue in Game 5.
But he would have given you more speed. He would have given you...
But it's not as good. Even Zdeno Chara at 70% is better than Steve Camphor.
Yeah,
100%.
But in my opinion, I'm not agreeing with that.
You're
I don't agree with that. Well, I'm not. I don't think when you look at Chara on the ice, I think he's a third pair of defenseman. And if you're talking third pair of defenseman, they're all pretty much the same.
Here's my point though about Zdeno Chara in this. I said it makes me feel icky. Like, don't you feel like you're watching the Gladiators in Roman times, and you're like, it's very bloodthirsty.
But I like that.
Screaming,
I like that
we're
stuff.
Yelling. This guy, and listen, it's Chara's choice. Nobody's forcing him to play through this. So kudos to him. But to me, it just feels like...
Icky. We
a little icky, yeah. I feel guilty about it. Watching a guy battle through a broken jaw. It's just wow.
Well, you'll never understand because you don't. You never had that. You've never really been an athlete, so you don't.
Well, what do you mean? You saw my sprint against you. You saw my first pitch.
And I said, exactly.
Great athlete.
Exactly.
Saw me try to shoot hoops a couple weeks ago.
So
you've what are you talking
you've
about?
Never been in a situation, even if it's at the high school level, where you're dealing with something, but you want to play in a championship game, and you want to battle through whatever that injury is.
But is this a message we should be sending to the kids as well? God. Is this a message we should be sending that if you have a broken jaw... Play through it. Tough it up. Why?
No,
why?
Yeah, but
what about the children?
What about the children?
You're taking it. See, this is where nut jobs like yourself ruin the society we live in because you're taking something and you're taking it all the way to the extreme. Like a 12-year-old kid is going to be out there playing hockey, gets his jaw broke, and now he's telling his mother or father, oh, because Chara's playing, I want to play with a broken jaw.
I think so. And I think that's the mentality. That's and coaches across this that's great commonwealth say, yeah, tough it up, kid.
Zidane-old Chara.
Athletes should play through injuries less often than they do. You know that, Wiggy.
But that's stupid. It depends on what the injury is. I mean, if a guy can play through that, and we've seen hockey players do it before, if a guy can play through a broken jaw, or if a guy, I had a broken hand, and I played through that, and now, if you can play through something and still be productive out there, I mean, you're not setting a bad message where now these kids are. That's just like, that's like I said, that's the nut jobs like yourself reaching. You're reaching as far as you can to look for something.
You don't think hockey coaches across this state from this town say, ah, tough it up, Chara did it. You can do it, kid. Get back on there.
As somebody who coached youth hockey, I would not tell a 9, 10, 11, 12, 13-year-old who got hit in the face and was bleeding from the mouth with a broken jaw, losing teeth, I would not tell him, hey, get back out there. You saw Chara do it.
Well, obviously, not going to have kids play through broken jaws, but
that's the sentiment that you're pushing. That's the narrative.
Just the whole mentality that, listen, he's 41 years old. He's a grown man. He's making his own decision.
Right.
But let's also keep in mind that if Chara was not playing, that would be fine too. That's the point I want to make. Because prior to Game 5, Mutt said it and a lot of others said, oh, Chara's a tough guy. He'll suit up and play. But it's not toughness. I mean, so if he wasn't going to, if he didn't play, he wouldn't be tough.
My question is, can you play with a broken jaw?
He's a tough guy.
Very
in the
tough.
Sense, he's a tough guy in the sense that he can deal with the threshold of pain more than, say, somebody else.
But does that make him greater than somebody who can't deal with this threshold of pain?
It doesn't make him greater than somebody else, but in that situation, he's a tough guy for getting out there and playing with a broken jaw.
Absolutely.
Where there are guys that might not be able to do it because the threshold for pain is differently for every person.
Absolutely. But me, the humanitarian I am, I feel a little guilty
for you, the nut job reacher looking for something to complain about, that's why you're doing it.
Dan is in Boston.
That's why it makes you feel icky.
A little char. What's
Hello.
Up, Dan?
Hi, guys. I got to say, I listened to the past couple weeks of the hockey discussion. Everybody's sort of beating Wiggy up for his comments on Chara. And as I watched the games the past few games, I got to agree with Wiggy that Chara is not what he used to be. He's not really hitting anyone. He's slow. And I'm not even talking about the injury, prior to the injury. I got to believe that if he played less ice time, you put a younger guy out there that you might get more bang for the buck. Sort of like when they replaced Bledsoe with Brady. At some point, you got to make a change.
So Zdeno Chara is battling through an apparent broken jaw, and you guys can't even give him the credit. You're still bashing him. This is what I mean.
He said prior to the injury, though. That's what he said prior to the broken jaw. He had been watching him, and that's what I said prior to the injury. He wasn't playing at, he was just playing like a third pairing defenseman. So when I look at that, and now he does have a broken jaw, I would say, listen, I think there are guys that are younger, more quicker, that would throw their body around more, that could maybe give you more production out there than Zdeno Chara.
It's thankless work.
Well, you just said, why are we rooting him on for playing?
No, I'm not saying why are we rooting him on. It just makes me feel a little gross that guys are breaking their jaws,
right,
blood all over the ice.
So
they all get back out there. You're a hockey player.
You should agree with me then and say, hey, let's sit Chara because I don't want to feel icky when I'm watching the game.
No, because I think Chara is still better than Steve Kampfer, even Chara at 70%. That's where we disagree, Wig. I'm team Chara. It's better than camphor.
You're team Chara with a little bit of ickiness.
With a little bit of ickiness. Well, that's my autobiography title, a little bit of ickiness. 617-779-7937. Still see your team Ream calls on the board. We'll get to that next. Jermaine Wiggins broke the news, top of the show. Apparently, this could be my swan song here at WEI. So if you want to
say goodbye,
wish me farewell, Venmo me some bucks when I move to South Florida, let's do it.
To say goodbye.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Right back to Reamer, Wiggy, and Bradfo on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
Anything with Matt Grizzlick and how he's progressing?
Hasn't been medically cleared, so he's still in a red.
Okay, and I know at this time of year, all out possibilities of whatever you guys want to do, whatever it takes. So a guy like Chris Wagner, who just took the ice a few minutes ago, any possibility of someone like him?
Tomorrow, doubtful. I'll put it there. I guess they could wake up in the morning, they could tell me he's got a chance, but I have not got that news yet, so I doubt he'd play. Game 7, potentially, be, you know, with the 3 extra days, could be a possibility, but I doubt he'd play.
It's Bruins head man Bruce Cassidy. A little injury update on Matt Grizzlick and Chris Wagner. Hold status is uncertain for tonight's game. Christian Fourier, our hockey insider, told us Grizzlick was definitely playing Thursday.
Yeah, hey, that
missed kinda, there.
Yeah, that thing backfired on him.
Backfired on him. But I will say, still, he had the broken jaw before anybody else. Everybody ran with that.
But I think we
all... A source told him.
I think we all knew that.
Yeah, but
that.
He was
I
the
mean,
one who... Yes, but he'd said it definitively. Christian Fourier, he did. He's the first one to surface it definitively.
So we're going to have let's take a break. Defensemen. Will we have 7?
Whoop, whoop. And for the record, I'm never wrong. Okay. Wow. Now, the story may change.
Yeah, Schefter gave Fourier some good tips on Friday on how to be an insider. It does change. Listen, it was a few misses, but the big story of the week for the Stanley Cup Final was the status of Zdeno Chara. And you're right, Wiggy. Most watching it figured probably broken jaw or something with the face, but Fourier didn't say probably. He said definitively. He was the first one who surfaced that. Early Wednesday afternoon, and early Tuesday afternoon, rather.
But we know that, though, right? Have they said it was a broken jaw?
No, but I mean, The Athletic had the confirmation report, and others have followed on. So I think it's a broken jaw. I mean, don't
I would think so.
Yeah, I mean, the guy can barely talk. Here's my question. I mean, so what kind of, what's Chara's diet looking like? I mean, he can't really
chew. He's probably drinking a lot of smoothies.
He has to be so hungry. I mean, the liquid diet does not fill you up.
Well, if you're getting a good smoothie, you haven't never had a good smoothie.
I have had a good smoothie, and I'm still I have had a smoothie, but I'm still hungry after. I'm hungry after smoothies. Even protein shakes. Got to eat.
Isn't he on the TB12 diet? So maybe they
the same thing.
Well, I know they have some really good smoothies there. So
that's so good. But again, hungry. When you say TB12 diet, I'm like, I'm still going to be hungry after eating.
Well, he throws some stuff in the appetite suppressor.
I don't know. It's just like, he's drinking through straws. And then you're still bashing him. Still saying the Bruins would be better off without him in the lineup.
Well, I'm not bashing his toughness.
No,
I'm bashing his performance.
But it's still thankless. We had a call who wanted to defend me and said I shouldn't be off the morning show, but he dropped off.
Then he realized, he was like, you know what?
guess that's
probably
an omen.
Not a smart move.
I guess that's an omen. So I mean, so really, because I met with Joey and this big
Jason
consultant, yes, on Friday as well,
right?
And I was not told that I'm off the station, so I don't know. So maybe are they not going to tell me in person? Is it just going to be like a text message? See you later.
Could be like that. I mean, that's the world we live in, right? Don't you break up in a relationship now through text message?
If you're a coward.
Well, a lot of people don't like to do the face on.
You got to do it face to face, though. I mean, come on,
a lot of people don't like that.
Yeah, but that doesn't excuse it. Of course, people don't like it, but that's the way to do it. If you have bad news, tell someone in person. Don't do it via text, via phone call.
Well, weren't
you? Do it in person.
Weren't you about to break some bad news over the air with Curtis?
Yeah, and that was a weaselly thing.
Right, so I mean...
But I didn't, so that's the key. I didn't.
Well, you know, there are people out there that don't like to, you know, tell somebody to their face.
I guess not. John in Springfield wants to talk about the officiating, which we've been doing a lot so far here this morning. Hey, John.
Oh, man, game six. Pre-game jitters are already starting.
We're nervous, that's it.
Play PM, you know, but yeah, no, I actually agree with you, Reamer, which is highly, usually unlikely.
Yeah, very strange.
But if you go back to the game and you see when that penalty was taking place, the ref was actually screened. I don't know if it was a St. Louis player or a Bruins player. And I said that right away. I said he didn't see it.
Oh, the tripping call? Oh, come on. No, he saw it.
Yeah, the tripping call.
And
there's no way the ref in the offensive zone is going to make that call with 10 minutes to go in game six.
No, come on, John. That was blatant. That was blatant. I mean, I agree with the official.
I don't blame the ref.
No, I'm not blaming the refs for the loss, but you do have to that was a missed call, John, and it did lead to the game deciding goal.
Of course it was, Beamer. I'm not saying it wasn't, but I'm saying I played hockey my whole life, high school, college, right? And there's always a play that's going to get missed here or there. Might be big, might be small. It might influence the game, it might not. But the thing is, if you really objectively look at it, guys, it was a 1-0 game at that point. The Bruins' power play sucked, so they were just going to go out and lay another goose egg. Then it's 7 minutes left. And St. Louis would have played a tighter defense when they were up 2-0. So they wouldn't even have scored. It would have been a 1-0 game. So this whole thing about the call ruined the game, it's just a bunch of BS. They got to get up and they got to wipe their, you know, put their boots pants on. They got to go to work tonight. They got to win the game, bring it back to Boston, and then it's all good. Nobody cares about the Chara thing. Nobody cares about the penalty thing. But if they lose tonight, all we're going to hear all summer long is this, that, and the other thing. It's a bunch of crybabies.
Exactly. Exactly, John. Good call and good points. Yes, it would be a crybaby thing to be complaining about the officiating still. Like, after tonight, Wiggy, the Bruins fall tonight.
Yep.
Another goose egg on the power play. More bad performances, no shows from from your top forwards. Are we still going to be talking about the blown calls?
I think it'll be part of the conversation. You know,
when do we move on?
Because it'll be part of the conversation. Because the reason why you ultimately, like you said, a part of why you would potentially lose the Stanley Cup had to do with the no call. I mean, it is what it is. And John says, okay, yeah, 9 minutes to go. I'd rather be down by one goal with 9 minutes to go. Whether we go, you know, 0-for on that power play or not, I'd rather have the opportunity to know that the next goal, if we can score, we got 9 minutes to go. The next goal we can score will tie this game up and send it to potentially overtime. I'd rather be in that situation than be down two goals.
I'm just shocked that Jermaine Wiggins, Super Bowl champion, member of New England Patriots from the Bill Belichick school, is still 3 days later complaining about referees.
Well,
come on, Wiggy.
The call worked in our favor. So,
but no, I understand. But that's not why. See, but that's a great example. Is the Tuck rule the only the biggest reason why your 0-1 Patriots were able to defeat Oakland to win the Super Bowl?
From Raiders fans and Raiders players, they feel that way.
How about your catch?
They feel that way.
They might
have been like, you would have never had that catch if they make the right call.
Sure, but the call happened. You still got to play.
But see, the difference is this between the Raiders. There wasn't a blown call. The call that was made in the Raiders game was the right call.
No, that's what they're saying in Oakland.
No, it was the right call because it happened earlier in the year to the Patriots, to us when we played the Jets.
And some are saying that Achari embellished, such as Jerry Callahan.
And that call, because there was a thing I saw not too long ago about the Tuck rule, that call had always been that way where it always got overturned as a non-fumble because of that Tuck rule. That happened many a times before that. So that was actually the right call. And so it wasn't like a blown call where in the New Orleans Saints game, for example, that was a blown no
right,
pass.
But that's a good comparison because the Saints still had a chance to win in overtime. They actually got the ball to kick off OT.
Right,
and Breeze threw an interception.
But if,
so you can't just only complain about the officials.
But if the officials make that call, right, the Rams never get the ball again.
But you still have
Saints,
to play.
And the Saints kick the game-winning field goal to win the game. And they're now headed to the Super Bowl.
But you still have to play. That's part of games. That's part of sports. You've seen the playoffs. The refereeing is terrible. I mean, St. Louis overcame a terrible call in the San Jose series. That was maybe the worst call of the entire postseason, not calling the hand pass against the Sharks. But the Blues were able to overcome that.
But to dismiss it like and say, well, you got to be able to overcome it. I understand that element of it. But to dismiss it like this is not a major, major role or major role factor in the game is just asinine because you wouldn't have to continue to play this way if they made the right call. In the Saints game, if that call was made, guess what? It's ball game over. The Saints can burn the clock out, kick the game-winning field goal, and they're headed to Super Bowl 53, whatever the hell it was.
You want to talk about blown calls, missed calls? I think the missed headshots even more egregious. Not obviously because of the effect they had in the game. The trip had the biggest effect.
Because they're icky.
Because it's icky, and it shows the NHL does not care at all about player safety. This
mentality.
So
where's the column that you're going to write about?
I wrote about it on Friday, WEI.com. The NHL does not care at all about player safety. These Blues are headhunting. They don't care. Don Cherry as well will play this sound coming back. Don Cherry saying blamed Matt Grizzlick for his concussion, and now saying that Daniel Char could have prevented breaking his jaw with a puck to the face. So we'll do that next with your calls at 617-779-7937. Reamer, Wiggy, Bradfo, Sans Bradfo, live from our WEI Ford Clubhouse Studios at Fenway Park. We'll be right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.